Anna Oli Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hickson Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. The video, or doing the video and the audio of it. Hey, I think you found it. I really am glad you did. Very cool, as are our advertisers. Remember to support them because that's how we get things done around here. Very cool. I am super excited, super jazzed tonight because we have a returning guest. And I looked this up before we started tonight. It's been 5 years, Eddie, since... This is Mr. Eddie Mann, everybody. He is a fantastic musician, Americana, folk, Christian. It's just good music. Makes you feel really good. And we're going to talk. We're going to play some tracks. We're going to talk about your music, Eddie. I got to say, I watched the one. I don't know if you're giving your daughter away at the wedding. What's going on there? When I was a kid, every summer, we'd go to my grandparents, and I'd work the ranch in Oklahoma. And all the guys, oh, got a little grit in my eye there. Got a little grit in my eye. That happened to me watching that video. That's good art. You grit in your eye.
It was an easy video to do. Sometimes you make it more difficult. You make art and creativity in general more difficult than it usually can be. And when you do that, it's usually not as good.
Right.
I'm the guy that always wants to say more with less words, and if I can do a visual that doesn't require that required a phone call to my daughter that said, look, I know you have the rights to what the videographer did. Do you mind if I fly it up the short, real short version under the lyrics to the song? And she was like, are you kidding me? Go for it. She said, everybody in the wedding party is going to love it. They're all going to see them.
Nice.
So I said, all right, it's good. And it was a song, too, that I was 3/4 of the way finished the writing of the song lyrically. Musically, it was done, and I was still just toying with the lyrics, trying to get them where I wanted them. And I really didn't have a third verse. And we were driving down, my daughter got married at Salvo, North Carolina, Outer Banks there.
Beautiful
and,
area.
We were fortunate enough to spend 4 or 5 days there and went down a little bit early, and I'm hanging out, and I'm in my room one day, and I'm thinking about this toast I need to give at the dinner afterwards. And I'm thinking, I gave my daughter away, and I stopped and I thought, I gave my daughter away. Who decided that's the line and that's the phrase? That's a horrible phrase. I love my daughter.
Right.
And I love my son-in-law. But to say I'm giving her away, man. So out of that, immediately, that frame of mind, I grabbed a guitar and I started that last verse, Fly Away My Honeybee.
Yeah.
So the last verse wrote itself from the little girl that used to sit in the back of the car as you drove around Florida down to Key West and stuff. And all I could see was her in the rearview mirror. And that kind of last verse, the last verse just encapsulated what that was like for me. And realizing that it was time for her to fly away and go move on to the next part of her life.
Every season, right? Every season has a time. And it's that reminds me of the famous quote. I don't know if it's true or not, but the one you always hear in art school is Michelangelo looked at the block of marble, saw what he needed, and he just had to chip the excess away. I think that's probably simplifying that process a little bit, but maybe not.
Don't you think that's the process? Yeah, but our mindset going in, I think, has to be just that this is a simple thing. What is the simple statement you're trying to make? And don't make it convoluted by adding 2 or 3 other things in there. No, just have a statement that you want your piece to speak about. And then from there, I don't know about you, but the joy for me is I don't want to tell anybody what it is.
Yeah.
I want their imagination. I want that part of their brain to create what they needed to say to them. Or in my case, I'm a faithful man, so I'm thinking the spirit, whatever, can speak to that person through
absolutely
what they're visualizing. The eyes are probably the most distracting thing we have that it can work in a positive way too.
If you Absolutely.
See something for the first time, which was like in that video, I thought nothing better is going to encapsulate what it feels like to live through a moment where you have to let something go. Sometimes it could be something bad in your life, but yet sometimes it's your daughter, you know, and it's either way, we have to move on. If we're on a journey, we're constantly moving on and from one place to another. And
your journey will change with that. There's grandkids coming. Who knows? You can't know. It's interesting. I was watching an interview. I have two thoughts in my head when you said that. I had a comedian friend, a stand-up friend, explained to me one of the tenets of comedy. He said, Jamie, if you have to explain a joke, it's not funny. Yes. It's not funny. It's not a good, you're not done. You got to work on that joke more. Flesh it out so you don't have to explain it. And at the same time, I was watching an interview with a movie director of all people, Quentin Tarantino, and they said, a lot of times in your movie, there's ambiguous stuff happening. And he goes, yeah, that's on purpose. I don't want to have to explain everything because to me, I know what my movie is. I know it's in the suitcase in Pulp Fiction. I know that.
Yeah.
He goes, but that's one movie. But when 200 million people watch that, they add what they, he goes, that's 200 million movies I've just helped bring forth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's very, because as a young artist, as a young painter, I remember I had a big problem with over-explaining stuff, saying, okay, here's the story I'm going to tell you. No, that ain't it. I'm presenting the story that I like. That's why I'm presenting it.
Yeah.
But I like to hear what they read the story. And I remember I was working with a gallery and they're like, Jamie, can you just write a paragraph or something explaining this painting? And so I'm like, yeah, no problem. Let me put on some of my weird music and just copy some song lyrics down and that have absolutely nothing to do with anything. It just makes it even more ambiguous. And a dark alley? What's he talking about? There's no alley in this painting. It's an abstract. What? Oh, maybe I'm not seeing it correctly. You know what I mean? And then they start analyzing it. And
well, as artists, that's what we all want. We want to create, we want to hit a nerve. We want to make somebody else feel something. And they look at it when they hear it, that's what we're going for. That's really the only negative about the fly away video was that it's unlike probably all of my other videos, if I think about it, and at least in the past 5-6 years, in that it really is for me too descriptive for the person listening to the song. One of the things I really don't like about music videos are the ones that tell you the exact story. Again, man, we hardly use our brain for anything anymore. And for me, it's every opportunity to be at a live event is an opportunity to teach and try to massage that part of a person's brain that makes them think and be creative, regardless of what you do for a living. If be the most creative dentist in the world, be the most creative plumber in the world, whatever it is that you do, the world is hurting for creative people to come up with a different spin on things. So for me, that one video, it's one of the few times I've stepped out of what is usually my comfort zone. I usually want something that's much more abstract. And I guess I think because I actually wrote those lyrics when I did. The first two verses probably are a little bit more abstract, even in written form. But that third verse was, I have no holds bar. It was about my daughter.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I watched that video when I was saying I got a little grit in my eye. When I married my wife, I also married her family. And I'm not saying that in a facetious, snarky way, folks. It's just, that's the reality. When you're joining something as important as a marriage, it's not always great, but you're going to have to spend some holidays at other places. That's just how it goes. Not a big deal. Don't get upset about it. Be happy that you get to have the opportunity to do that. Anyway, me and my father-in-law, he's a great guy. Love him to death. We are one of those our relationship, we don't have a tremendous amount in common. And he's a big sports guy. I like a couple sports, but not ones he would like. I'm into boxing and F1 and stuff like that. He likes the Panthers. But you know what? I'll go to a Panthers game that's fine. Because you try to be a good son-in-law. I'd rather be a positive than a negative.
Yeah, and always.
Yeah. But I was remembering our wedding and wedding reception. And it was of course. All the stops got pulled up. My wife is the oldest daughter. They have three girls of their family. And I remember him just looking at her a lot that night. And I'm like, that's kind of weird, you know? What is so different? She looks great. I get it. What I didn't get is I'm not a parent. Never been a parent. I don't have a daughter. Right. I don't have that bond that, and he was probably thinking a lot of the same things you were thinking. Me and her lived together for, I don't know, 8 years, 10 years almost. So it wasn't like she was leaving home, but she kind of was in a way. Yeah. And I understood him a little better after watching that video, is all I'm saying. Taking the long way around to say it. I think that's just good art. One of the things I've always liked about your music in general is it's got a relatability factor to it. Everybody, I can hear any one of your songs and I can relate it to something that happened to me. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, and I think anybody can. That's a good artist to me. Somebody that can have their message heard.
I think that I generally create every day. So there are seasons when I'm writing every single day about what I'm living through. And I think as long as I don't stray too far in my own head, I'm writing about things that obviously other people are living through the same seasons. I may release it a year later or 2 years later, but it's still relatable, I think, to most people because we're all on this journey together through 2025 right now. And all the craziness that is 2025.
Well, it's easy to get distracted, but
so every year is like that in its own way.
Yeah, it has been.
I don't want to get into. I'm not trying to write big psychological in depth. I'm not analyzing the world. I'm basically just reflecting how it's been. It's just how it's bouncing off of me. I got to get up every morning and I got to maneuver and negotiate my way through the day like everybody else. I just choose to share it through music and through written word, photography, whatever.
You still painting?
I'm just doing a lot of photography stuff right now.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And I do a lot of digital work.
I gotcha.
I enjoy, like my wife has been involved recording and documenting my life as a musician forever. And at one point, when I started to really get into creating in that media, I said, don't give me everything. Give me all the raw stuff. Because the thing you look at and say, that's no good, that's blurry, I love that. Let me, because I'll look at it and it may just strike an emotion in me that I want to work from it. I want to see where it takes me. I want to see where it needs to go. I don't want to tell it where to go. I don't want to force it where it doesn't want to go. But I want to keep on,
right.
I want to be on the journey with it and see what's it going to turn out to be. And I love that. It's a great way for me to get notes, music, and poetry out of my head.
I'm telling you, I can see some of the still photography and whatnot and some of the poetry mixed together in a fantastic coffee table book. You know what I mean? If some highfalutin person down on Star Island, that's something that they would put on their coffee table and probably pay $200 for. Or maybe go the other route and just have it, everybody can have it. But I could see that. Because you are a true artist in music, just you're a creative person. And people, I'm telling you, I complain about it a little bit every so often, but I secretly love it. I think the public loves it. They want to see this because it's so unfamiliar, the whole creative process. And I think it's hard for people in the non-creative world to wrap their head around. They're like, I can go to the office and sell insurance all day long or do accounting or whatever it is they do. And they're probably really good at it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Believe me, very glad of our accountant, very happy working with him, but we need him. But at the same time, he's one of those people that are always fascinated with my world because he's not a part of it. Yeah. And on a creative level. And I think, because you're the whole thing, man, you're doing visual art, you're doing music, of course, video, music video. And Eddie, you're doing okay. I got to tell you, there's a lot of probably 20-year-old kids out here starting to band to meet girls probably, but then they'll watch this. I see that fancy TV behind you, your nice pad, your cool hat. And they're like, and don't be offended at this, but your age, you've been doing this a long time. You're living with the life they want to live.
Thanks for the kind words. Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm one of those guys, I picked up the guitar to get babes, man. I'm not...
That's why I started baiting.
Let's be honest. And I had my 15 minutes of fame two or three times in my life where I abused it.
Took it for granted.
I abused most of the things that musicians do. But that was my journey. I had to live through some things to get to where I was supposed to be next. And I've been fortunate that when I first became a musician, I played what people wanted to hear. I didn't force myself into being a round peg into a square hole type of thing. I was smart. And after 7 or 8 years and being stable and actually being financially stable by playing what people wanted to hear, that's when the singer-songwriter blossomed. And it was a matter of, at that point, okay, how do I negotiate this change from this secular, I got to sound just like the album type of thing to make a living, to, okay, now it's me. I want it to sound like me. I want it to be me. I don't want it to be anyone else.
What's that old saying? Do what you love and the money will follow. You know what I mean? But you got to make smart decisions about it. You got to make smart decisions. He's absolutely right.
I share this with my wife, and my wife and I share it together often, that the best decisions we made early on in our lives was that we would be patient and we didn't want to live in debt. So we didn't get things until we could afford to pay for them. Because I'm old school.
My dad's the same way.
I come from a school where you used to put money down on something and you would pay it off. And when it was paid off, you would bring it home brand spanking new.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the world we live in. The world we live in today, you bring it home, you start paying it off. And when you finally pay it off, you don't want it anymore because now it's a piece of crap. You've beat the crap out of it. It's ass backwards. It's completely backwards.
It's so true.
And there's a lot of things in our life that are like that. When people from a generation back or two say, it's not a question of it was better. It's just backwards.
Absolutely. There used to be a little catalog that would come in the mail when I was a kid, when I was in my 20s, called, I don't know if I should say the name, Finger Blank was the name of the magazine. And it was that deal. It was a little catalog, a little mini Sears and Roebuck, and you would thumb through it and say, oh, look at this stereo. I want this nice stereo. And I don't have to send them any money at all. They'll just send it to me and charge me $30 a month. Sometimes in life, you don't have that extra $30. Things happen.
Yeah.
And then you go to buy a house a couple of years later or a car or something, and you're still paying for it.
Yeah.
And it's very, I saw a lot of people get into that. And when I see it today, I was watching the news the other day and they had some farmers from anywhere these days. I think these guys were in Iowa or Nebraska or someplace. And they're like, we don't have the money coming in from our crop and blah, 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 all this stuff. And I'm not getting political, folks, but I'm saying this is what they were saying. And they're like, I can't make my payments on this combo payment here, this combo big farm and machinery they were talking about. And I remember my grandfather's ranch, and he was exactly like you, Eddie. He was exactly like you. He, if he made payments, he didn't get the combo until off. And because he knew things happen. Things, a tornado could roll through town. Anything can happen. And it's what you can't think of that's the problem. That happens, and then what do you do? It's very, that is the old school way of doing it. It's a smart way of doing it because you don't get into problems. You don't get into problems that, and maybe everybody's listening to me going, oh, Jamie, you're just, I am an old man. I've turned into one, but one of my things in life took me a while to figure this out. Avoid unnecessary problems. That's some good advice there.
You're right on. You're right on point. I think that we don't.
What's the word? Don't put yourself in a bad spot.
And, yeah.
It'll be a good hang. That helps tremendously too. But yeah, don't put yourself in a bad spot. There's. I lived a pretty fast life for a long time, and I put myself in a lot of bad spots, and had a lot of time to contemplate those. Oh, what was the mistake I made today? Leaving the house, maybe? There were a lot of signs that I shouldn't, but I did, and now I'm paying the consequence for it. It sucks. It's no fun.
I just think that there's some things that you can't connect the dots until you've... It's seasoning.
Oh,
it's moving through. You go through a season, and then you can look back and say, "Wow, I got that right. Boy, I really screwed that one up."
Yeah.
Whatever made.
But I'm not doing it again.
Whatever made me do that, because that made it really hard to get to the next
absolutely.
Point, the next absolutely. Dot that you're connecting on our lifeline.
And it's so weird because there's so many things. I was just talking to a friend of mine. We were talking about drinking, how we used to drink. As opposed to how, and I maybe have a cocktail or two once a year at an event or a family fun barbecue or something. But I'm not, this is the first time in my life, Eddie, that I have a nice bar full of all the fancy stuff. And there's dust on the bottles because I don't use them. Now, when I was younger, I would have a bunch of fancy bottles, but there wouldn't be anything in them. Look how cool I am. But one of the things when I was younger, I wish I would have known. And this is just a side note, everybody. If you're planning on drinking, hey, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just giving you a helpful hint. When I would drink, I'd get a nice little buzz going. Oh, this is nice. I like this. I can talk to people. I'm social. I want this to last all night. So I'd better drink a bunch more to build up that so I can make it last all night. No, that is not how it works. You just get, you're laying down singing songs and no fun. You're not nearly as funny as you think you are at that point. No, you
get... Or creative. Because
or creative.
You we're more creative.
Time and money. Yeah. What you do is you get that nice buzz and then you have a couple glasses of water. That buzz will go an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, then maybe you have another cocktail. But you just one, because the rest of it's going to be you drinking water. And you can stretch it out. You know, let me drink 10 of these cocktails and then I'll be good for the whole... No, you will be a mess and you will hate the effects the next day. I'm at the age where hangovers usually will last. The one time I have a drink every year, I'm hungover from one or two cocktails for 4 days, that's no, I don't drink. I'm just like, I don't want that. I'm avoiding unnecessary issues. And I'm getting stuff done.
I don't partake at all anymore. Mm-mm. But.
And that's usually the smartest thing. Have you seen those videos of the Karens on the airplane? Yes. Maybe lay off the booze before you travel, folks. How about that?
I still have people in my peripheral that need to drink to be happy.
Yeah, you need to.
They need to drink.
They need
to
figure it out.
They need to drink to another place. I am fortunate, and I'm blessed right now that for a good 10 years, I live in a space. I can't wait to get up each day.
Yeah.
I am a seasoned man at this point. I've been through a lot. And I still get to get up each day and do what I love. The thing I love the most, I still get a chance to do it. And now I get a chance to do it each day on my terms. I don't owe anybody a song. I don't owe anybody an album. I don't owe any business anything. I pay my people in my little tribe, my little posse, people mm-hmm. that work for me. They get paid as the events happen or as they perform a job for me. Nobody's waiting on checks. it's so easy, but I'm so fortunate to do that. But I've worked really hard to put myself in a position so that I could do it.
Yeah.
I worked really hard.
A lot of lessons learned there to get to that point. And you've probably had to wait on a check once or twice. And you said, I don't like this. I'm not going to be like that.
No, I didn't want to be that guy. I didn't want to be that guy that was late paying people. If anything, it's overpaying. Yeah. If I'm guilty of anything. I so appreciate. I've got bandmates that leave a 12-week little tour type thing from June through August every year. They leave the dates open so that they can be there for me.
That's fantastic.
These are seasoned players that love the music, love what I'm about, love the message, and want to be a part of it. And man, I can't put a dollar sign on that.
No.
It's just yet another blessing. But to get there, it was the same thing. I had to, there have been times when somebody came on board and didn't measure up.
You got to weed them out.
I had to make the hard decision to say it's time for a change.
Yeah.
You know, or creatively, the worst is in that area, the worst thing is creatively feeling like you've gotten as much out of the unit or the people
that's coming.
Yeah. And you need new blood. You need more inspiration. Sometimes that inspiration can come from an outside source. I remember telling you years ago, I did that album Simple Things, which was basically me writing stories that were within the brushstrokes of these Thomas Aikens songs that were in the Philadelphia Art Museum. The inspiration came from just being in the art museum and then figuring out every time we come here, why do I always go to the same wing and end up sitting here staring at these pictures? And then the light bulb goes off. It's because of where your mind is. You're seeing all these great stories. And
absolutely.
Tell the story. There it is. And then the inspiration is, it doesn't matter who the players are at that point. We're going to come in. I'm going to share this idea. And we're going to build this into something beautiful.
Yeah. And folks, anybody out there who's starting out or has been in it, and they need to make some course corrections. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with making a course correction if something ain't working. In fact, I encourage it. Do it all the time. But listen to what Eddie's saying here. Take notes. Get out your pad of paper, whatever, and take these notes because this is good stuff. And it's very true. It's a great world. Anything can be a great world if that's what you're supposed to be doing. Now, Eddie's much more spiritual, religious than I am. But I'll tell you something that I've learned in my brief time upon the planet. I say brief sarcastically, but I've been doing this a long time. The universe or God or whomever tends to let you know when you're on the right path. Amazing things. When you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, amazing things start happening. And it's really weird. However, it works the other way as well. When you're on the wrong path, you tend to get messages that you need to be doing something different. And yeah, there's going to be downtimes and stuff, but you know what? It makes the good times all that better. You got a point of comparison now. And just be still, listen to who's ever trying to tell you something. They usually know more than you. I have found for myself that I'll give you a good example of this. We do a lot of charity work, and we work with various local charities and this and that, and I'll donate paintings, and they, depending on the gig, they'll either have a silent auction if they're trying to be real fancy, I always tell them, do a raffle. You make a lot more money. Everybody's got $20 for raffle tickets in their pocket. Not everybody has $500 to bid on a painting. But that's just my experience. And it's their gig. They'll do what they want. But every time I've done that, every time, it's great because you're helping out something that needs, a problem that needs to be solved. And that's awesome. It's great press. You can get your name in the paper. That's cool. That's gravy, though. You're really helping somebody, and that's good. But on a selfish note, I got to say it because it's true. Every time I do that, it leads to other work. It leads to other. Somebody there's, I like that. Can you do this? Yes, I can. And that's great. We have a very nice dryer because of that. We needed a new dryer, and somebody's looking out for me, and I'm just grateful that they are. That's all I'm saying.
Quite a
matter of fact, my father-in-law is very, he goes to, they're Catholic. They go to church every Sunday. And I remember when that dryer situation happened, I gave him $5 and I say, hey, do me a favor. When you're at church on Sunday, when they pass the plate or the basket, please throw that in there for me. I'm probably not going to go myself to do it, but I think that the message will be sent, and I feel confident in that. Yeah, just listen to the world, man, because it's telling you stuff. And
I subscribe to the principle of the path quite a few years ago now, that I've met a lot of people that are unhappy with where they're at and where their career is, and they'll come and that maybe I'm doing something that they want to be doing, or I'm living a lifestyle they want to live. And I'll ask them, I say, when you get up each day, what's your day like? And, okay, what do you do next? Do you have a goal for the day or whatever? And by the time they're done, they're telling me that they want to be over here. This is the place they want to get. They want to get to this spot here, but they're on a path that's taking them way the hell over here. You know, if you want to go over here, you need to be on a path that's taking you closer to that every single day. I tell the greatest picture of this is we have a home in Pennsylvania and we have a home in Florida. Every winter, post-holiday, we load up the car. We pack up. We make reservations most of the time. We do everything. We shut down the house up north. And we get in the car, and if I get on 95 and I go north, I'm not getting to Florida. You need to be on a path that's leading to what you want in life.
Yeah.
And how are you going to get there? Now, some people are short-sighted. They can't see past Friday, and that's a whole different problem. Or they're not disciplined enough. But a lot of people, or a lot of young people specifically, and I was one of them for when I was very young, They haven't taken the time to actually say, this is where I want to be at the end of this year, because 10 years from now, I want to be here. And then hopefully I can retire here doing this. The first week or the first month that I met my wife, I brought her down to Melbourne Beach and I said, someday I want to retire you.
Yeah.
And
it's a nice beach.
Here we are. Here we are. It actually worked out. We actually did what it took to get to follow the path
to get to that goal.
And we're blessed. You can call it luck. I prefer to use the word blessed, but inevitably we had to be good servants with what we had, and we had to live a lifestyle that would lead us, keep us on that path.
Absolutely.
Here. And That works career-wise, that works on a personal level.
Relationship-wise.
With children, friends.
Anything.
You worry about, my friendship with this guy isn't very good. Well, when's the last time you called him? He doesn't call me. So when was the last time you called him?
Do the stuff, do the work.
What effort are you putting out? You got to work at it if you want it.
Absolutely. And that's the great thing about goals is you can, when you have a goal, you can work towards it. You start asking yourself, to get in the habit of asking yourself this question. And I don't care what your goal is, whatever it is, doesn't matter. It's not my goal.
Right.
I have my own.
Everybody's going to be different.
Yeah, whatever your goal is, get into this habit. This will help you a lot, and in whatever you're doing. how does, look at every situation and go, how does this help me achieve that goal or get closer to that goal?
Yeah.
And your brain will spit out, okay, yeah, this is how it does. Okay, that's what I need to do. If your brain spits out, not at all. Nothing about this will help you get to there. Avoid that. Course correct and do something that will.
Yeah.
It's very, I know we, folks, we, me and Eddie, we're old friends and we start talking and this is, I get it. We got to play some of Eddie's music.
We've had 5 years of catching up to do here.
I know, it's very true. It's very, we're not going to do that again. We're going to have you on.
Absolutely.
Much, much more frequently. Hey, and I want to give a big shout out before we do to Michael Stover and the whole MTS yeah. crew over there. Folks, I don't care what you're doing. If you're baking bread, doesn't matter. You need help on the social media side of things. And they don't just do social media. They do all kinds of stuff, man. He's got folks that can make lyric videos and whatever. My big joke that I always tell at parties is I need to find me a 14-year-old girl with a cell phone to handle all my social media because I'm really bad at it. I do the best I can, but I haven't grown up with this stuff, folks. This is all the computers I grew up with was the Commodore 64. I am dated. It's very true. I learned that basic programming in high school, which has no practical applications today. It's all
Fortran, baby.
Yeah, I learned all that. I worked in my dad's shop. I can program a CNC machine to do something, but it ain't going to help you get a TikTok account. That ain't. Yeah. But anyway, let's play some of Mike and them do a fantastic job over there. What's he got? 3 kids now? I don't know how he sleeps because I get up at 3 in the morning and I'll email Michael and he just immediately responds. I'm like, you're up? This is weird. Nobody else in the world except me is up right now, Michael. You got kids.
I may have met my match as far as somebody who's disciplined. He's got to be, regimented to get everything, all the ducks lined up. And get them all into the water.
And he's a spiritual too. I believe I could be wrong on
yes.
that.
So now, yes.
I thought he was. Maybe there's something to that is all I'm saying, at least on an organizational level, because he seems to have it down. We've got 3 videos here we're going to do. We're, the one we talked about, Fly, Fly Away. It's Time Lord and Did I Ever. This is what we need to play tonight. So we're going to play them. Which one should we start with, Eddie? Which one should we start with?
Let's start with, I guess we have to start with Fly, Fly Away. I think that was, we spoke a lot about that. So why don't we roll
right,
there first?
Folks. Guys, grab your kerchief because you might get some grit in your eye on this one is all I'm saying. Here it is, everybody. This is Eddie Mann. And the track is, I want to get it right here. So let me look. Fly, Fly Away. I wanted to make sure I had enough flies in that
That's
intro.
Right.
Here it is, everybody. Check this out.
Bye.
And we're back, folks. We're back. I did not fib you. I did not deceive you. That is a fantastic video. Just a good song. That's a song, just a good one. Like I said.
Thanks for the kind words, man. Appreciate
it. Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. I imagine your daughter, I don't know your daughter, but I would imagine, it would seem to me, it's got footage of her wedding in it, and that's such a good trait. She must have been over the moon when you sent it down to her.
Yeah, she likes it a little bit.
I would say so. I would, too. That's fantastic. Let me ask you, Eddie, this is a question I like to ask my musician friends, because in my world, people will see a finished painting, and they'll say, Jamie rolled out of bed on Tuesday, just knocked that out. But they're seeing the finished, and sometimes that happens. So I praise whomever's listening when that happens, because it is such a rarity. Oftentimes, I'm wanting to pull my hair out, and it's fighting me, and I'm wanting to throw it in the street and jump up and down on it as I'm painting it sometimes. That happens more often than not. But final result, people can't tell, because we worked real hard to get it to a point where they can't tell. Now, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. I don't want to give any of the magician secrets away or anything like that. But I hear a track fly away. It's perfect. It's polished. It's why Eddie must have just rolled out of bed on a Tuesday morning and made that happen. It came out already mastered. It's amazing. An easy one? Or did that one fly a little bit?
Fly Away, in principle, wrote itself pretty fast, as I said.
Nice.
Except for the last verse. I stumbled on that last verse. What was that last kind of picture I wanted to paint? I stumbled with that. And often, when that happens, I walk away from it. And so a lot of times when I get into the studio, it's not complete. It will go through a process in the studio where, again, I don't just want to nudge it along. I don't want to force it in a direction it doesn't want to go. I want it to be honest and true for what is passing through me. But at the same time, I'm not afraid to, sometimes I won't write the bridge specifically, because I want that to be fresh in the studio when we get there. And I'll see where the verse and refrain or chorus lead me. But it took me a while to get to the point where, to realize that for me, these songs are never finished. Because every time I go out and perform them, they're different. I'm not somebody that plays note for note the same way two times in a row. My bandmates know that. Lord only knows, I may even play it in a different key. They've been schooled by me to understand how I work.
That's gonna,
you know, what mood am I in today? What, you know?
But as an audience member, I love that, because if I wanted to listen to a CD, I would have stayed home and listened to a CD. When I want to go see a show, I want to see a show. And I like that spontaneity and the difference, because I'm seeing it. I imagine there's other people who feel the same. I don't know. I'm sure the world's a weird place. Maybe there is somebody who wants to hear a...
I think if you're a singer, let's pick a boy band or something, where they've gone out, they've picked four or five guys who were actors and singers, and they put you in together in a band, and then they get writers to write the song for you, and the musicians come in and record it. And then you go out and learn the dance steps and do it. That's different than the guy that created the song on his guitar, keyboard, or whatever.
Absolutely.
And his approach to the song is completely different. And when he's out in public, he's going to express it differently.
Right.
I mean, in your media, I would probably be frustrated as a painter once something is hung. Although it's equal to somebody buying a CD. They've got the songs at that moment, how they existed. I had a guy come up to me at a show one time and say, I saw you last week. And I said, great. I said, you know that song, You Make Me Feel? You sang the second verse wrong. And I said, what? He said, you sang the wrong words. And I said, I'll tell you exactly where it was. It was the third line of the second verse. And he said, you're right. I said, I've never been happy with that. And every single time I sing it, I'm always searching for what I really want to say there. So I said, if I sing it tonight, you're going to hear it different again.
Absolutely.
It's part of the song growing.
And you're never happy with stuff. I have stuff I painted that I had this conversation with my wife. And there was a period. 2011 wasn't my best year. I will admit that freely. I will own that and sold a few paintings that we still muddled through it. But the thing was, is I look back in that period and I was getting real frustrated with it. I said, man, I know these people bought this painting, but what I would like to do is just take a month, repaint those paintings and send them how it should be done. And she's like, absolutely not. Those people loved those paintings enough to buy them. Yeah. They want that painting. Whether you like it or not, it's out of your hands now. You're not doing that. You're painting new stuff. This is what you're going to paint. And she was right. My wife is the video game kids use, in my process, she's the final boss. Okay. I'll get a painting to where I think it's ready to go. And I text her and she comes. I say, okay, come in the studio. I need your look on this. And so she comes in, she'll look at it. Most of the time she's like, yeah, looks great. Looks great. Seal it. It's ready to go. Because you can't, I do this before I seal it because it's hard to paint over the sealer without being able to tell. And sometimes she's that right eye there. I don't get what's going on here. And I'm like, and I may grouse a little bit about it, but I'm so grateful that I have a partner that
you can be honest, man.
To be honest. Yeah. Cause it's got my name on it. I don't want it, bad stuff going out. So all I'm saying is, folks out there, find you a partner, you know?
Yeah. An accountability person.
Yeah. That'll be straight with you. You know what I mean? That's super important. Everybody knows you're a genius. You're a genius. You don't need somebody else to tell you. Come on. But even geniuses, sometimes the behind the curtain, the truth needs somebody to help them course correct if need be. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Sometimes it call it God, call it your whatever. Just be glad that you don't have a bad painting leaving the house or the studio. Yeah. Is what I'm saying.
My albums are always much better when my wife says, "Don't put that one on."
You guys have been together a minute, so you know that she probably knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
The weird thing is my wife doesn't take that criticism from me nearly as well as I take it from her. Go figure. Anyway, the next track we're going to do is, what are we going to do? I got Did I Ever?
Yeah, let's do Did I Ever. In 35 years of marriage, I think I've written like 6 songs. That might be generous. Maybe one hand. On one hand, songs about my wife. And Did I Ever didn't start out. I thought it was basically a love song between me and my God. But when I look back at the language, is about my wife and I.
Nice.
So that was part of the vehicle that helped me express my love.
Yeah, and you know what? Why have the talent if you can't use it? That's all I'm saying. Why? You got to. I'm sure you feel the same way about your wife as I feel about mine. My sun and moon. Anyway, folks, here it is. This is Did I Ever? Eddie Mann, check this out.
Did I ever let? Did I ever let you know that I really need you so? Did I ever? Did I ever bear? Did I ever bear my soul and admit you make me whole? Did I ever? Well, I can't dream of life without you by my side. No, I can't dream of waking without you. Did I ever say that? Did I ever say that? Did I ever say that I love you? Did I ever let? Did I ever let you see what you really mean to me? Did I ever? Did I ever show? Did I ever show my plan? The one where we are hand in hand? Did I ever? Living
I ever let you hear what I say when you're not here? Did I ever share my dream? The one beneath the full moon beam? Did I ever?
Folks, we're back. Did I ever? Let me ask you, Eddie, the tracks we're playing tonight, I should have found this out before we even did the show. These are available, right? They're out on all the...
Yes. Yes. Did I Ever and Fly, Fly Away are from the last album I released called Turn Up the Divine.
Nice.
They're available.
That's a good title.
They're available. They are available everywhere.
Nice.
Always, I refer people to the Eddie Mann website first for all the good stuff. But again, if whatever your platform is, whatever the one you're most friendly with or enjoy spending the most time with,
It's good. And the cool thing, folks, I've said this before, but it's very true. One of the great things there's a few things I dislike about streaming websites, and that's the pie slices from the artist to the streaming website. I think is definitely need some course correction, in my opinion. But you know what? I'll bring it up at the next shareholders meeting, I suppose. That's about all I can do.
Yeah.
Maybe yell it from across the street because I don't own any shares. But one of the things I do like about the streaming technology is I'm going to revert a little bit to my younger wolfing around days. Say you're at work at the car dealership or whatever, and it's Linda's birthday down the hall. She's in her cubicle with her long legs, and every guy in the place knows it, and they're all going to buy her a card or some flowers. Great. How boring. How boring. For a buck, your email, just buy her a track or a couple. Suddenly, you're James Bond. You're setting yourself outside the herd. Nobody's doing that, and it's cool. It's a good gift. It's a good gift, and it's pretty affordable. Also, people always ask me, they're like, you always have these great bands on, Jamie. Where should we buy their music at? I get it. If you're in Portugal and you can't get to a show, yeah, use the streaming site. If you can buy it direct from the artist, go that route. And I have never been to any type of show that didn't have a merch table.
Yeah.
There's usually a pretty nice-looking little gal sitting at the merch table selling merch. That's great. Some places out west, I've heard, are trying to get a cut. Some venues are trying to get a cut of the merch table. I think that's ridiculous. No, you're so directly, that money usually directly goes to the artist. And I don't think Eddie's in this position, but I've known bands that paid for Denny's after the show. You know what I mean? That was the food or gas to the next gig. Helps a lot. So
it all helps support the next project.
Absolutely.
I mean, ultimately, that's all we all want to do. That's all I want to do as a creative. I want to do the next project.
Yeah.
I want to have the means to do that, to release it. And it all helps. It all funnels toward the end goal.
Yep. Yep. That's a good point, too. For any young bands out there or whatever, get you a coffee can or a peanut can. That's what I use here. If you got money coming in, pay your bills, of course. Put the money towards that new Gibson you want or whatever. But some of that put into your coffee can for the next project, because Canvas ain't free. You got to buy those new canvases or whatever it is you're doing. You got to keep the momentum going, the movement. Yes. Very important. Don't forget about it, because it will be needed. Now, it's time, Lord. Tell us a little bit about this one.
I wrote this a couple years ago, got in the studio, worked on it, mixed it, mastered it, put a real pretty bow on it, and then sat on it for about a year and a half. It didn't fit any of the projects I was doing. It's really a reggae type of feel, and it really was. It was not one of my wife's favorites because she felt it was too much of a political statement.
I got you.
And that's not her bag at all. It really, I suppose, it really is my way of being political without being political. It's not about right. It's not about left. But it really needs to be said, and it really needs to be dealt with. And for me, the answer to anything always boils down very simply to love. Compassion for each other, compassion for humanity, and not what's best for the party, not what's best for my career, but what's best for the world I'm living in.
Yeah.
And that's where the song is at home. After the past month, the amount of violence I sat through the past 2 months, or the past month, I just said, that's it, I'm putting it out. And MTS said, we usually like to get a month to do the press release to do it. And I said, no, I said, look, I'm releasing it today. I'm putting it on my website. I'm flying up the video, and we'll do like the worldwide type of thing on October 6th. So on October 6th, this thing went up online, and it was great. First couple of days, it was actually number one on the iTunes Christian chart in the UK. And I didn't care. It could have been the KU. I didn't care. The fact that it was being listened to, the fact that it was being heard by people, that was the win, that this statement about, okay, enough's enough.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not just that we want to stop this violence. It's just that we can't be silent about it.
No.
And for me, where I live as a man of faith, I need something much bigger than what I've seen.
Right.
To make a correction.
Yep. Yeah,
if you're not
I get
a person of faith, if you're not a person of faith, somewhere along the line, you feel a power or a sense of something in this world that has to happen.
Absolutely.
Because we as human beings are not capable of correcting the system. And I'm not busting on the system. We broke the system. The system's okay if we didn't get involved with it. It's like I can get up each day and I can go, today's the day. And I am not going to screw around today. I'm going to be the picture of love. And then I meet the first human being. And there's the problem.
Yeah.
I got to deal with the person.
Yeah.
But that's, to the chase, that's what the song is really about. It's my statement.
I tell every kid, I mentor some people, not just kids, but I call them kids, young people. Part of my Patreon deal is one of the tiers is you can get some mentoring. And mm-hmm. and I don't teach people how to paint. I'm like, you can go to school like everybody else to learn that, or just paint. How about that? But I'll help you with your art business and take it to the next level. But one of the things I tell them, because people are always like, especially young people, are, I want to say something about this, and that's fine. An artist, and I don't care what kind of artist you are, musician, whatever, has two options. You can comment on the world. That could be positive, that could be critical, doesn't matter. You can make a comment about the world you're in, or you can distract from the world you're in. That's it. It's one or the other. And they're both equally important. If you want to distract, people need a break from stuff. I do. I am turning into an old man, Eddie. The other day, my wife came out, she goes, what are you watching, a football game, a baseball game? You're yelling at the TV. I'm like, no, I'm watching the news. Apparently, these people never had a civics course in high school. She was like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But you need to calm down. You're going to have an aneurysm out here. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. So I limit myself on a lot of that stuff. But it's still happening. It's still going to affect me. And I still got to make moves on the chessboard according to the layout of the chessboard. But I agree with you. I look and I'm just like, man, what is wrong with these people? Are you kidding me? But, you know, whatever your viewpoint is, folks, it doesn't have to match mine. Just because I like a particular flavor of ice cream doesn't mean you have to either. I'm not that big of a megalomaniac. But yeah, I really like, the old Star Trek with Mr. Spock. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. That's a pretty basic, good philosophy to have. And what's going to be best for you and your family? That's the big issue there. That's your job. You look at any bird in a nest, the job of him or her, whatever, is to, those babies in the nest are keeping that nest, maybe the tree if you want to get really into it, but look out for that. And you, if everybody does that, things tend to work out. Anyway, here, I'm talking too much. Here it is, everybody. It's Time Lord. Check this out. Here it is.
Yes, it is.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. That was Eddie Mann, It's Time Lord. And again, all these are available for purchase wherever you buy your music at. And Eddie, you were telling me when before we came on the air, you're playing, what, next week after, something like that?
Yeah, I'm actually going north. I'm in Melbourne Beach, Florida at the moment, but I'm going to be traveling up to Hatboro, Pennsylvania to open up a brand new venue. Nice. In next Saturday night, sold out, Cafe 57. All info's available on my sites.
Very cool.
If you're in the area, man, we'd love to have you come out and visit and hang out and share a little time together. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Just don't criticize him if he changes the song a little bit. He's going to do it. Come on. It's his show. He's the captain of the ship, at least for that night. You know what I mean? So
there you go.
Be respectful.
You'll hear some kind of version of the new single.
There you go. I love it. I love it. Now, folks, in addition, we have clickable links to all things Eddie Mann down in the description below. I suggest you follow him. And also, Eddie, you do a live stream. You do a podcast yourself weekly, right?
I do a live stream every Thursday night on Facebook and YouTube. And I also do a live stream every Monday with my wife. It's Mondays with the Manns, where we just take a look at the past week and how we survived it. It's very rarely real serious because we tend to see the humor in each other's lives. And
yeah,
we really do. There's a lot of self-deprecation going on. We really do enjoy laughing at each other.
You have to.
So, yeah, it's a little bit different than Thursday, which is more musical and more spiritual.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And, folks, like I said, we got those links. Put it. I know those fancy phones, you have some way to remind you or set a date. Or if it doesn't, I got an idea for you, Apple. Maybe you want to add that. Just saying. Anyway, very cool. Eddie, I know I kept you too long. I really apologize about that, but...
Oh, no, it's just been great, man. We have a lot of catching up to do.
We're going to do this every couple months because I really enjoy spending time with you. And
same here.
You're such a good hang. You're such a good hang. That's my other advice, folks. Be a good hang in whatever you do. Nobody wants to hang out with a jerk. That ain't going to get you anywhere. That's like driving with a flat tire. Everybody likes a good hang.
I'll have to let you know when I'm making my trek down to Key West in January sometime.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a live thing together.
Absolutely. That'd we're not sweet. That far from 95. I can't remember the exit number, but it's right past Boca.
I'm driving right by you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody, have a good one. Remember, the world is weird. My typical advice would be if somebody gives you a hard time, punch them in the nose. Don't do that. That's bad advice. Be patient with people, and you know what works real well? Be kind. It's addictive.
Amen.
It spreads. Do your part, because you don't know what people are going through. Do your part. Just be a good be a good hang. That's my thing. We'll see you next time. Have a great one. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you soon.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rock, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hola, Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.